Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 7:30. We'll get back into Vanderbilt's loss in the regional final with him. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, we had Charles Robinson on the show last week, and we basically gave him a homework assignment. We'll see if we can get back into it on Thursday about whether or not there's any sort of market whatsoever for Will Levis right now. And he said very quickly, no, he had not heard about that. Now, apparently that's a lot of conversation right now, because I think it was Jeremy Fowler who was on SportsCenter over the weekend and was asked about that, and he was like, yeah, I don't get a sense that there's much of a trade market going on right now for him and that he's entrenched as the backup. He had Florio on Pro Football Talk this weekend talking about Will Levis and how the Titans keeping him on the roster is, quote, dysfunctional, is what he had to say on the Levis situation. And then Cody Benjamin from CBS Sports, putting together, you know, it's post-June 1st now, so some post-June 1st
designations,
cut candidates and yep, designations and who could be traded and all that. And obviously, you know, guys like Kirk Cousins getting the most of the conversation. Did bring up Will Levis. Gave the potential landing spots as the Bucks, the Lions, and the Rams. So we'll see what happens on that front. Maybe they could do the swap now, the Levis for Hooker swap. Satisfy all fans, make Rex Road happy as well. Hooker being the backup quarterback.
We'll I don't
see.
Hate it.
We'll see what happens on that front. But I am very interested to see. There's a lot of chatter about it right now in the media. Is there any chatter about it with teams whatsoever when it comes to the Will Levis trade part of this? And could that happen at some point here? You know, the Lions is an interesting spot because I think they brought in Kyle Allen and they've got Hendon Hooker there. So you've got two guys already in the building, obviously. You know, one of the things that they talk about in the CBS Sports piece is like, well, Will Levis has started games and has played starting quarterback in the NFL, so could that be more of a value to a team like the Lions? You know, as Charles pointed out, doesn't seem like there's much conversation about that right now. I just wonder if there's anybody that looks at him and says, that's the guy we want as our backup quarterback around the league. We want him to come in as our backup quarterback. And if not, it still gets back to the conversation we had last week that is really interesting from the Titans' viewpoint. Let's say they keep him. Is he the backup? Is Brandon Allen the backup? I'm really interested to see how that part of it plays out. But all of a sudden, everybody around the league and the media is talking about Will Levis in a trade. I feel like we were trendsetters there. So
yeah.
We're going to take credit.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I'd like to hear a Florio Kaharski debate if he's saying it's
dysfunctional
to keep him. That's a pretty strong word, but I lean more that way. So, yeah, that's a good question though. How many teams would look at Will Levis and say, you know, he'd be a good QB2 or he'd be an upgrade at QB2? This is where I do this every year, where I try to brush up on, like, who are all the backup quarterbacks across the NFL. And it's always amazing, like, some of the names that you're like, oh, that guy's still in the league. No kidding. I forgot about that guy. You know, there's about half of them are, like, you know. You probably know off the top of your head. And then, okay, so here's one that's ranking. Oh, I got a ranking from SI, from Gilberto Manzano from SI.com, ranking the backup. So, I mean, again, like, you got Tyson Bagent with the Bears.
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Boy, poor Davis Mills gets.
He's probably way 30. Too low in that ranking.
That's a stretch that Davis Mills is down at 30. Thank you. Yeah, you know, okay, Trubisky with the Bills. I mean, can you tell me the Jacksonville Jaguars backup?
No, I can't.
All right, they brought in Cohen. Did they switch it?
Well, it was Mac Jones.
Yeah.
They got
that's true.
Nick Mullins, baby.
Sure.
Okay. Let's go, Nick Mullins. Yeah, we've talked about guys like Rattler. You know, of course, you got so SI, by the way, they have Will Levis ranked 25th. They have him ranked one spot ahead of number 26, Mason Rudolph. So,
okay.
How about that? Will Levis gets the You
know, I thought Rudolph was the starter.
I thought Rudolph.
Well, yeah, I mean, that, hey, yeah, maybe it'll turn out that way.
That flies in the face of Rex Rhodes. Rudolph's a top 10 backup quarterback in the league from last year, though.
That does. My goodness. The Titans ruined his reputation.
Apparently
he
so.
Can you tell me the Philadelphia Eagles backup?
Well, no, not anymore because it was
Pickett, right?
It was Pickett.
It was Pickett.
I have no idea.
Tanner McKee.
You could have given me all year.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. But you go through the I am now in the top 10, which includes names such as Brissett. Number 9, Malik Willis. Number 9.
Nine
are
in
you
the league.
Kidding me? I'm now really questioning this. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Malik played great last year.
Andy Dalton with the Panthers. Marcus, number 7. Pretty good Titans quarterback. Mac, number 6.
Give me Malik.
Jackson Dart, 5. Jake Browning, 4. Daniel Jones, 3. I'm not sure he's a backup. Then you got Jimmy G with the Rams and, of course, Cousins with the Falcons, number 1, which is – I would agree with that. So you go through all that. There's definitely some teams that are like – I mean, I would take Will Levis over some of those names. But, again,
25 is pretty low, right? Like, he's a – they got him at 25 on that list.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are some terrible backups.
There's some pretty bad backups in the league, man.
No question. But it also gets back to the whole thing we've talked about. It's like, is he what you want as a backup? You know,
it's a good question.
To me, it's a team that would trade for him. It would be more, it would be more like, you know what? Let's take a flyer. Because in a couple of years, who knows? You know, more than, yeah, that'd be good. Although, again, I think he's better than some of these guys. But he's not, to me, and I think to both of us, the backup quarterback model.
I would agree. Yeah, he turns the ball over way too much for my liking on that front. I man, you're going through that list. There are some bad backup quarterbacks in the league.
Always.
I mean, look, in all seriousness, like, you know, I was kind of joking about Detroit just because it was brought up in this CBS piece, but I mean, their backup quarterback situation is not great. It's Hendon Hooker, who we'll see, and it's also Kyle Allen. And it's like, oh, good, Kyle Allen is their backup quarterback.
Kyle and Brandon Allen, so can they just be in the same place?
Yeah.
And fight it out.
Kyle Allen has played 31 career games, which is stunning to me, but he has. So there you go.
Yeah.
So that's your backup quarterback competition right now in Detroit is Kyle Allen and Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. Again, I'm a little bit puzzled by the Hendon Hooker thing. I mean, I'm probably going to end up being wrong for the first time on a quarterback coming to the NFL with him. The way that they've kind of gone about things, you know, going to get Teddy Bridgewater, for example. I looked at that a little bit like, well, you know, Hooker's young, and it's just some insurance with a veteran. It's just in case you need a little game management.
And then he played. I thought when Goff went down, I mean, so Bridgewater spent all year on the sideline coaching a high school team, and then they brought him in and immediately threw him in the game when Goff went down. That did not speak great of their thoughts on Hooker to me.
Yeah, it's just really surprising because I thought, again, preseason football is what it is, but I actually thought – he looked pretty good in the preseason. Like, it was like, yeah, there you go. Again, he's ACL's a rookie, but now it's now you're starting to see it. So I don't know.
You still got that list up?
Yes.
Where's Big Joe Milton on the backup quarterback
Big
list?
Big Joe Milton, he's right around the middle of the pack. Let me.
Okay.
Oh God, man, I tell you, SI.com, man. You talk about a website that is just absolutely. It's
just
like.
Gone
every
super
pop-up
downhill.
Ad that you could possibly it's just unbelievable. Hendon Hooker, by the way, is ranked 16th.
Okay.
And Joe Milton right behind him. All number right. 70 right behind him on the depth chart, just like at Tennessee.
So they've got
that 17.
Joe Milton ahead of Will Levis, huh?
They do.
Okay.
They do. They've got just ahead of Levis, they have Dobbs with the Pats.
Okay.
Pickett with the Browns. Milroe. Okay. With the Seahawks.
Has Joe Milton played one game?
Hey.
Has Hendon Hooker played any?
Yeah, what?
Like any meaningful snaps?
It's a very weird list. Do you know who the Dolphins backup is?
Yeah, it's Zach Wilson.
Okay,
isn't it? Yeah.
There you go. Well done, well done. They got Minshew here. Oh, how about, do you know who the Baltimore Ravens backup is this year?
I don't know. Is Kyle Bowler still hanging around? I have no idea.
Cooper Rush is a Raven.
That's where Cooper Rush ended up?
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. There you go. See? Thank you, SI.
Good for them.
Despite all these stupid pop-up
ads. This should really be like a game. every year. The quarterbacks actually changing hands.
Yeah, we should have thought of this and made this a game. Who's the Minnesota Vikings backup? They've had a lot of possibilities to be there with McCarthy.
I don't remember. Who is their backup?
His first name is Sam.
It's not Darnold.
That's right.
I have no idea.
Different Sam. Sam Howell.
That's where Sam Howell ended.
I know. It's fascinating.
It's enough to keep Aaron Rodgers out. Yeah, it's enough to keep Aaron Rodgers out. The new duo of McCarthy and Sam Howell.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll be fine.
It was interesting to hear with Charles the other day was just like, yeah, maybe Rodgers will look at Minnesota and see if McCarthy struggles real quick before he ever signs in Pittsburgh. It's like, good Lord, how long is he going to drag this out?
Just, you know what? I really only want to play about 4 or 5 games, guys, and then we'll do the playoffs. Does that work for you?
Mason, you got this handled, right? Just wait till I get there.
Yeah.
Keep us alive.
I mean, there's some Steelers fans who live in Nashville who are like, Mason Rudolph, he should have been the starter. Who is the Niners' backup?
Who is the Niners' backup?
It's just the musical chairs of backup quarterbacks in this league.
I have no clue.
Mac Jones. He's a Niner.
That's crazy.
Everything that you're saying, I didn't know that.
I have no idea.
That's why I asked you the questions. I didn't know either. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Congratulations to Mac Jones.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, the NBA Finals is now set after the Pacers took down the Knicks over the weekend. We'll take a look at both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final coming up next. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us at 7:30. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you could be there. Text in the keyword MATCH to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. We'll have Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us at 7:30. We'll get into Vanderbilt and their failure to get to even the regional final this weekend with him coming up here in just a few minutes. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road later this hour at 7:45. Joe, the NBA Finals now set after the Pacers take down Ian's beloved Knicks over the weekend. It will be the Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oklahoma City is a huge favorite heading into the final here. We've watched the Pacers all postseason long. It's been a lot of fun to watch them and see what they've done. We'll see exactly what happens. I'm looking at the series. This is pretty incredible. According to FanDuel Sportsbook, the Oklahoma City Thunder, a -750 favorite to win the series against the Pacers. -750, Rex Road.
Jeez.
Your thoughts on the NBA Finals matchup between Indiana and Oklahoma City?
Yeah, I fear that those odds kind of tell you. I think this could be a mismatch, and I think Oklahoma City has been the best team this year, and unfortunately, my Warriors were not there to challenge them because Steph got hurt. That might be a different story right now, but it doesn't matter. They're there, and Indiana's there, and the East. Look, unfortunately, I'm like the Celtics and Cavs. I think are clearly the best two teams in the East, and either, you know, they both had injuries, and those things happen. We could have a different looking final right now. One, I hope people who think that everything that happens in the NBA is fixed, maybe like pump the brakes a little bit, because I don't think this would be, I was about to say David Stearns, this would be the NBA's dream matchup in any way.
Adam Silver's just putting his hands together. You know, I've been waiting on Oklahoma City and Indiana for a long time.
Yeah, first.
Finally, we got it.
First, we fixed the lottery after we made them trade Luka. Then we got this. You know, it's just, come on, guys. Also, this is where I swear, like, NBA ratings is like its own entire, like, Twitter subset.
Yep.
It's like when they're good, oh, yeah, when it's bad, blah, blah, blah. So everybody's, like, freaking out. Oh, look, this small market. Okay. Like, do you like basketball? I mean, I don't care. Like, do we sit there in the NFL all the time and be like, the Chiefs, small market, who wants to watch that crap? No. People make such a big deal out of this stuff, the ratings and the markets. It's a basketball series. I'll be watching. I hope it's good. I just don't think it'll be. I don't think it's gonna be that competitive. That's the bigger problem. If this was, again, if it was small market with Oklahoma City and Cleveland at its best and healthy,
yeah,
it'd be the same thing. Except I think we might actually have a great series.
Oklahoma City's winning at 5. I'll give Indiana one game. Oklahoma City's winning in five. And my brother's a huge Thunder fan, so I've actually watched a fair bit of the Thunder this year. They're really good.
Yeah.
Like they're extremely good. And, you know, we kind of had some fun with Sportsmanlike a couple weeks ago, the show before us, talking about how they could be a dynasty. And it's like, well, let me see if you can win one first.
Yeah.
And then we can start to get into the dynasty talk. But in all seriousness, like, they are really good. They're very young. And they could be a problem for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's like they're like the core is what as young as like a team at this point going back quite a ways, I believe. I forget who it was. Well, I mean, read it and I forgot.
So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 26, right? So, I mean, he kind of feels like he's been around forever. He's 26. Chet Holmgren is 23. Like they've got all basically their entire team is like 26, 27, 25 in that range.
And Jalen Williams, who I certainly had no idea that he one of the few guys
he's 24
stayed in a mid major his whole college career comes out and he's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's a heck of a core, good supporting players, and it's I will say you know when we talk about you know small market and all this stuff, I feel like those two. Home environments are among the best right now going. And of course they get good when a team's so good that they advance this far, but I think the scenes will be pretty good.
They will. I'm looking forward to that part of it. Can Indiana make it a series? Now, look, I say that, you know, Halliburton, I guess at this point in the postseason, doubt him at your own risk, right? I mean, that's what it's been. So maybe he can have some more magic as they get into the finals, but I'm kind of with you. I don't really care about the market size part of it, like just give me a good series. Give me a good matchup. Now, like, do I think the ratings will probably suffer because of this matchup a little bit? Yeah. I mean, it's not – LeBron's not there. Steph Curry's not there. SGA is a great player. Like, if you haven't watched him, you'll like watching him. He's a very good player.
Fantastic.
And he's more than just a free throw merchant that people throw at them.
He's
very good.
He is very good at –
He's very good at selling.
Almost contact, and then the head jerks back.
There's no doubt.
He's incredible at that.
He's very good at that.
Like Jalen Brunson.
So, there is that part of it. So, I don't know if this thing has the star power that people are going to be looking for, but Oklahoma City's it's a great team. So.
Yeah, but it's rising stars.
It is.
SGA, I mean, he's MVP. Like he's,
and frankly, I like something a little bit different, and this is it.
Yeah. SGA, I was talking with Gentry among our 27 hours in the Vanderbilt press box this weekend. Like, SGA at Kentucky was kind of like, just another guy. Yeah. I had no idea. But that's what happens sometimes when you have a one and done. You can get a lot better when you're 21 and 23 and 25, and he has. But Chet Holmgren has a chance to be an unbelievable player in this league for a long time, as everybody knew was possible when he was at Gonzaga for his 1 year.
Yep.
And he's still, again, it's like, I know he's lifting, eating, doing everything he can, but he's
still like a strong wind would blow him over.
Yeah. But man, does he, his assortment of skills and his rim protection, man. And then Halliburton has become that, like, boring star, but he is a hell of a player. It's just not super exciting to watch him. He's just fundamentally sound, makes the right pass all the time, doesn't turn it over, hits big shots, even though it looks like he's like a little kid shooting from the hip sometimes. But he's a really good player. I'd love to see him lift that team to a higher level. Andrew Nembhard will be the guy guarding SGA. SGA destroyed him this year, but, I mean, Nembhard did an amazing job on Brunson in the last series, so maybe he can have a little more success. It's just, with SGA, you got a lot more length, and he's faster than Brunson. He's better. So that's the key matchup of the series.
Got to wait till Thursday for the NBA Finals to start. Long breaks in between conference finals for both leagues here. The Stanley Cup Final starts on Wednesday, where it will be Florida and Edmonton in a rematch. Edmonton with home ice advantage in this series, which, frankly, has meant nothing to this point in the playoffs. Florida has not had home ice advantage to this point in the series, and they've gotten to this in the postseason. They've gotten to the Cup Final. Edmonton has not had home ice advantage to this point in the postseason, and they've made it to the Cup Final. So that shows
that
you how important home ice advantage is.
Yeah. Gosh, that's crazy. Now home ice advantage is, well, I think at some point both teams will just be like, where the hell are we? We've just been on a plane for 17 straight hours.
They play this at some neutral site location in, like, Norway.
Well, I mean, too, like
Florida would be like, that's closer for us. Let's just go to Norway.
Why don't they actually meet in Oklahoma City? Like, that's about halfway, and you could play in that arena in the off nights.
Sorry, I just got stunned. I looked up on Good Morning Football, and John Robinson is an analyst on Good Morning Football.
J-Rob!
It's like, wow. Holy crap. All right.
You know, the lettuce is still strong. Look at that lettuce, man.
John Robinson. Doing some Good Morning Football work apparently right now.
Interesting. Very interesting. So is he deciding to pivot into media? I've kind of waited on him to, after taking all of Amy's money that is owed him for all these years, to maybe get back into the personnel game, and maybe he's going to go media.
J-Rob, your thoughts on A.J. Brown, his impact for the Eagles?
J-Rob, do you remember who traded him? There was one day, I think I've said this on the show before, but there was one day at training camp a few years ago, and he was like, we were like joking around. I was like, yeah, well, when I get, he was making fun of Stilly or something. I don't know. But he's like, well, when I get fired, I'll do a show with Stilly. And
here he is.
Well,
Good Morning Football. The path has started.
It's time for us to make a call to John Robinson.
In his patented flannel shirt he's got rocking there.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
He's talking about why this year will be different for the Jets. So good assignment. Hey, John, tell us why this year will be different for the Jets. You got anything?
Boy.
I'm going to go back to personnel.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Who's winning the cup final this year?
I'm going to go Oilers. I think it's the ascent to this, and I think that I think it's that time. You know, I do wonder if they don't win it, because you brought it up, but I know they're in the Stanley Cup final again, so it's like what are you complaining about? But if they don't win it, does he still say like, "Man, this is the ceiling. I need
I don't know.
A higher ceiling somewhere else."
It's going to be a good question. I'm with you. I think that they're going to win, and that they're just going to kind of be willed there by him and Draisaitl. But, man, it makes me nervous to pick against this Florida team. This might be the best version of what they are, and they've been to now three consecutive cup finals and won a championship.
And it's hard to – right. I feel like a lot of people are picking Edmonton, but
– yeah.
Yeah, but right. Like, why are we just
– it makes me very nervous that people are picking Edmonton as much as they are.
Yeah.
And that I agree with it.
By the way, on the YouTube chat, a single gentleman says Pacers in six, OKC has no bench. He also says – I see UT fans are feeling themselves this morning because Vanderbilt lost, but last time I checked on the scoreboard, Vandy has two natties, UT won, and they are clearly the better team this year. So, okay, there's a Vandy trash talk. I mean, clearly the better team this year. I understand they won two out of three distinguished, but, like, that's kind of decided in the postseason, is it not?
They have no bench. Have you watched Oklahoma City this year?
Yeah, that's an interesting take, too. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they got some guys on the bench.
Pretty good. 615.
I hope you're right that it's a good series.
737-1025, our phone number. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on Vanderbilt losing out even before the regional final this weekend in the aftermath of that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing well, guys. Hope you are as well.
We are. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, obviously, Gentry, about as disappointing as it gets for Vanderbilt this weekend. They just could not hit the ball at all. They become the first number one national seed to not even make it to the regional final since this format was put in there in 1999. So what do you make of just how this weekend went for Vanderbilt, and how do you view the entirety of kind of their run in the second half, the winning of the SEC tournament, and now this kind of all combined into one? What's the aftermath of this if you're a Vanderbilt fan looking at this?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the season, you call it a good season, but nothing more. You know, I do feel like it, big picture wise, it was a step back in the right direction for where this program wants to be and kind of how it's always, how it sees itself. But as we talked about last week, if they weren't able to get it done in the regional, a lot of what happened this season, it just doesn't matter. This is a program that's clearly got a mental block or something when it comes to this part of the season. It was pretty staggering how poorly Vanderbilt hit the ball all weekend. I mean, the pitching was good enough, the defense was good enough, but the hitting was just atrocious. And they made a couple of pretty average pitchers for Wright State look like Cy Young candidates. You know, these guys are out there holding Vanderbilt to one hit in like 14 innings, and it, you know, you're not going to be able to win in that tournament if you can't put the ball in play. You know, you say they had some bad luck hitting the ball right at people, but if you look around that tournament at the teams that are advancing and really, you know, playing well and kind of putting their stamp on games, they're scoring a lot of runs, they're doing a lot of hitting, and Vanderbilt just didn't. And it was a pretty miserable experience, I think, for a lot of the fans who were there, because it was bad, and it continued to get worse in terms of the pressure that I think Vanderbilt's hitters put on themselves. You know, and it was pretty staggering, like I said.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, it was just the vibes were not vibing at the Hawk this weekend. I mean, my goodness. Yeah, I tweeted about this, but like a couple who, like, I think that, you know, they were waving everybody, saying goodbye and stuff. Obviously, like, season ticket holders, they had like sweet primo seats, right, man? They just hugged the usher and they just left in the seventh inning. Like, it's 5-1. Like, this is the elimination game. But, like, at the same time, they knew what was going to happen. And of course, I guess if that isn't a ground rule double, then they would have had to be, like, they'd be running back into the
– Yeah.
But still, it was just, like, so bad. So, beyond the pressure, lack of handling Gentry, you know, we talked about this. You and I had plenty of time to talk about a lot of things this weekend in that press box, including Stilley's really nice red shirt. But I did look at them and say, okay, so is this a little bit of reality of, like, they've been on a surge, they rise up and they get the number one seed. Obviously very good defensively, great pitching depth. But the lineup, and I know it was especially bad, but I think there's just not much that scares you. Like, do you feel like there's still adjustment that needs to be made by Corbin in terms of loading up that lineup a little bit? I think Johnston is going to be a guy who is a middle of lineup power guy, but, like, do you still feel like maybe Corbin needs to pivot a bit in terms of roster building?
I think that pivot has already started, just in terms of what they've added. The lineup, I'll agree that there aren't those dudes in the middle of that lineup that really, you know, terrify another team. But if you look at the last month and a half of the season, they really had started to be a little more of, I think, what they wanted to be this year, which they did kind of address the power and say, you know, the hitting has been an issue, and especially the power hitting has been an issue with that program now for a number of years. And I feel like this was probably the best team they've had in the last few years in terms of that department. But having said that, the hitting numbers all season really weren't that great. If you looked at where this could all fall apart, that was definitely where it could be. They were at the near the bottom of the SEC in batting average, slugging, home runs, all that. Again, it had been better in the last month, but more than anything, Vanderbilt had been clutch. They'd kind of come back and save themselves at the last minute. And again, if you say anything about that last game against Wright State, they did almost do that.
Yep.
Vanderbilt, it's not the kind of lineup they've had in the past where you've got these surefire big leaguers in there, and Vanderbilt can just out-talent people. That's not the case anymore. They have good teams, and sometimes they play real well. I think this, over the course of a season with the sample size that goes into that, still a very good program, very well-coached program. They play good baseball, and they do a lot of things to win games. But when you come down to one weekend, when you can't hit the ball over the fence, you're relying on base hits to fall. You're relying on, you know, good contact, things, you know, for things to fall just right. And if they fall wrong, you know, and you're struggling, you might keep struggling. And there just was never an answer. It just kept getting worse.
How crushing is this for the Vanderbilt fan? You know, we were talking earlier, the only thing that would have made yesterday worse for Vanderbilt fans is if Tennessee would have punched their ticket last night and won against Wake Forest, and we'll see what they do tonight. But, you know, you're the number one seed. Gentry, I said earlier in the show, I think back to 07 where everybody just assumed that team with David Price and company were going to go win the national championship, and it was legitimately stunning when they lost to Michigan the way that they did. This team is not that team. Like, they were not as talented as that team. But how do you put into scope how crushing this was for the Vanderbilt fan base, who has been clamoring to get, you know, they felt like they were back as of last week, and then you still don't get out of the regional again since 2021?
Yeah, I think that's really what it is the fact that now you've had a number of years where, you know, as you mentioned the David Price team, this happened a couple of years ago. And I kind of wrote the offensive breakdown and how this went would have been more inexplicable had it not happened to Vanderbilt 2 years ago. That was a top eight seed hosting a regional. They just won the SEC tournament. It's very similar. And they went 1-2 and got knocked out of their own regional. The fact that they were the number one overall seed, I don't think anybody really ever looked at that team as kind of that team. I don't think there is that team in college baseball this year. The number two seed got knocked out too last night in Texas, by the way. But I feel like when you look at that, what happened a couple of years ago, I think you do have to start asking yourself, what is it with Vanderbilt when it comes to this tournament? And it's a modern problem, right? It's something from the last few years. But my theory on this is that you looked at the other teams that Vanderbilt played in these games, Wright State twice, Louisville, they were having a blast in the other dugout. Cheers. You know, you could tell they were having fun. They were having fun playing. And Vanderbilt, when you look at their team, it just, I mean, when the struggles came in and they were just playing like they'd rather be anywhere else. And I think this program this season, I do feel like let their hair down a little bit. They've always kind of, there's kind of a reputation of Vanderbilt as the no fun team. And I think a lot of that has to do when you're comparing them to Tennessee and all that. So I don't necessarily think that's fair, but I do think Vanderbilt this year has had a little bit more of an edge to them. They let their hair down a little bit. That went away this weekend. I don't know what it is when you get to this time of year, but I think Vanderbilt's going to have to figure out how to loosen up and play its best baseball when it matters most, because they were way too tight to play well this weekend.
You mentioned Texas. Schlossnagel, A&M fans are just, oh, you know they are having a field day today with him and sending bouquets to a UTSA. So, Gentry, will Tennessee fans, as of this evening, I think the game's at 5, be able to completely unleash their fury and hellfire onto Vanderbilt fans, or are we going to be talking about both of these teams sitting down for supers?
I'll tell you what, if you're Tennessee, you certainly feel a lot better to get that game last night, because now you're going into a situation where the pitching is do you start Tegan Kunz out there and a guy who's kind of struggled lately, and then how do you handle the pitching from there? I think this could be a game where Tony's making a lot of moves, and I think both sides are going to use a lot of pitchers, and now you're probably seeing a lot of runs in that stadium, and it could go any which way. So it's going to be interesting to see how Tennessee handles that. But usually in that stadium, they're able to score a few more runs than the other team. I do think Tennessee's probably going to get it done. And then you got to go to Arkansas for a super, and Arkansas very quietly handled their regional quite well this weekend, and that's going to be a really tough series and a lot of fun to see those two square off in the supers. If Tennessee wins tonight, that's a big if.
It's going to be interesting to see if Tennessee can handle that tonight as they take on Wake Forest in the regional final. Gentry, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us here on the program. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I hate the V-necks. I hate how they feel. I just don't like them. I'm sorry.
I like the khakis. If I wear them every day, then, you know, you don't have to spend time thinking about what to wear.
That way you can have plenty of pockets for loose mitts. Just get you some cargo shorts. Did you offer Finebaum a mint?
I did not, but that's a
hey,
great
Paul.
Point.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
I don't know that I have especially pointy nipples.
Glorious. No, I won't give in.
a lot to unpack, as usual.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. We had to let that song play out a little bit. It's been a while since we really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Here we
you
are.
Don't, like, you actually don't like that song, right?
I don't, but the fact that you hate it as much as you do does make me kind of excited to hear it from time to time.
Yeah. 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 God. I mean, is there a Preds fan out there who's seriously like, yes, they're playing Glorious Domination?
Yes,
I'm
they're
so
all
excited.
We hear from them sometimes.
I don't believe you. I don't believe any of you who say this. All right, we got a problem in sports discourse. We have a lot of problems in sports discourse. But one of them, to me, is overuse of the word choked. Okay. Everybody choked. You lose a game, you choked. You're a favorite, you choked. Choke, choke, choke. Now, the point of this is not at all to rip Stilly. We want to be nice to Stilly. He's very sensitive. And congrats, by the way, on your team, who you assured us had no chance because Vandy was going to roll. You said this on the air last week. Congrats on advance of the Super, and Louisville might host.
Yeah, way to go.
By the way, if Louisville hosts Miami if they win today. So, again, I'm not ribbing him. This is widespread. But I will say the reason that I muted him in the first place was because of this exact word. Going back to 2022 in the Vols against Michigan, the NCAA tournament, and they lost, and it was – now, I will say, if you want to use that word, you know, Michigan made a good adjustment. They went zone. Tennessee, because Kenny Chandler was getting to the lane at will, and Tennessee had wide open shot after wide open shot. They played it how you have to play it. I found zero coaching mistakes in that loss. But, of course, still he's like, well, is Mike Brown a choker or is he not a choker? Choker, choker, choker. And finally I was like, all right, I can't deal with this anymore, so I mute him. It's been blissful since then. Then you have in 2024, still he making up the whole situation with the nine-minute run, famously, when it was like actually like a minute 47 before the timeout. Like, just shameful making something up to try to find like a coaching flub to call it a choke. But, again, not alone.
A nine-minute run.
Thank you. People use it a lot. I think most of the time it's a stretch. It doesn't apply. And just in part because there's like, is there always a winning side? And usually, especially like if you're focused, you know, in a particular market on a team that lost, you're focused on the losing.
Sure.
You tend to not want to give credit to the winning. But this weekend, when you bat 132 in a series, when you lead for one of 27 innings in three games against teams that aren't as talented as you, one of which you played twice, isn't even close. When you have one hit in a 14-inning span against two Wright State pitchers, one with nearly a 7 ERA, one with nearly a 9 ERA coming in with all their other numbers backing up those ERAs, like, you can't just talk about good pitching. When you don't play good situational baseball, when you swing at ball four, you take strike three down the middle, when you were the first number one seed to not even make it to the regional final, when you are visibly just down in the dumps as a team collectively walking to the dugout with your head down and like your fans are just kind of sitting there like, this is uncomfortable to watch. Not only is it not fun, we're not winning, but like it's hard to watch my team right now. Yes, you choked. The word isn't just appropriate here. It is necessary. So this is the standard. If we're going to use it, this is a time when we can use it and should use it. And I would argue that the last time in this city that really it was appropriate and worked would probably be as applied to Ryan Tannehill against the Cincinnati
100%.
Bengals.
The Titans, for sure.
Yep.
I mean, it's a big word. So don't just throw it around willy-nilly. Use it appropriately. Right now, let her rip.
Yeah, like I would say, I don't know, man. Like I would also – you could make the argument that the Preds choked game four away from Vancouver, the Vancouver series last year too.
But it's like it's a great point, and that's a word – but it's also like – so you made a couple key mistakes. I don't know.
It's close. That one's close. I mean, Tannehill, there's no doubt.
Yeah. Like
that to may me, be the city's all-time example.
Yeah, exactly. Like in basketball, it's like, you know, when you're at the free throw line and you're a great free throw shooter and you're down one and you miss, like that is like, there it is. Sometimes it's like crazy stuff happens in the middle. So I guess, you know, we can get semantics on the Preds.
But your point remains. It is an overused word, but it is totally applicable. to Vanderbilt this weekend. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw that the kid pitching for Wright State yesterday had an 8.9 ERA. I was like, he looks like Sandy Koufax out here. What's going on? Like, Vanderbilt can't touch him. What's going on out here?
That Randy Johnson?
Oh, my gosh. Who is this kid up there? I mean, they could not touch him.
And, again, two of their guys, like, did
that
to them. In a matter of, I mean, back-to-back days, two of their guys did that to them.
That has to speak, I think that speaks a lot to your approach, right? But I also, like, as the weekend went on, you know, especially after you lost to Louisville and you're heading into that game yesterday, if you're Vanderbilt, how much of the mental side of it gets to you, right? Like, oh my goodness, we're down, and here we are again. We're in a regional final, or we're trying to get out of a region with the number one seed, and I got to do it right now. And like, how much does that play into what we saw? I mean, like, even like we've had people bring up RJ Austin today, like even the last at bat, right? Like, he just immediately just kind of throws his hands at one and pops one up to end the game.
Pitch out of the strike zone.
Pitch out of the strike zone, and you just pop it up. It's like,
I felt terrible for him. And yeah, I did. I felt terrible for him because he's a key guy. Someone on the text line earlier was like, you had to replace him, or, you know, do something. How do you leave him in the game? Well, I mean, he's a key player. Key player in the field for you. Key player in the lineup for you.
Yep.
And a leader, team leader. And that was, you feel bad individually for a guy like that. But collectively, it was. And, yeah, look, I think baseball is also a sport that's probably, just because of the pace of the game and the nature of the game. Here's a situation, me against you. Here's a situation. Whereas
a lot of time to
some
think.
Sports, like with hockey, it's like stuff flying around, football. But, yeah, baseball is a sport that I guess is already made for that word more than others anyway.
I would agree. There's more time to sit in your own thoughts if you're playing a baseball game.
Yeah, and, for Vanderbilt, moving forward, it's just whatever they do next year, I mean, they'll be in the NCAA tournament. Yep. I have no doubt that they will get a 20th straight bid under Corbin, and I wouldn't be surprised at all the way things are looking. They look like they're going to be pretty good next year.
But it's all we're going to be talking about as the week comes around.
At some point, you get – I don't know. Angry, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. At some point, you break through. But this was the year where you really had to end it, and instead it was actually the worst of all.
It was the worst of all. And now, again, I'm not really a huge believer in, they were talking about the most recent example was the Carolina Hurricane stuff. They're like, well, they haven't won a Eastern Conference final game in – they've lost like 12 in a row. And it's like, okay, well, how many were like these guys there for? They were there for a few of them. But like, nobody cares on the Hurricanes if you got swept in 2009. Like, it has nothing to do with right now, right? So I think sometimes in sports we probably make too much of that. But like, with this program, there's going to be a lot of pressure when they get back there next year, because I'm with you, they will. They're going to get to the regional. It's all we're going to be talking about that week is, well, it's been 4 years. They haven't got out. They haven't been out since 2021. And it's going to be the same thing over again. And I do think, like, you're aware of that conversation. It creeps in.
Yeah.
And in baseball, you got more time to think about it than, to your point, in hockey or football when you're just reading and reacting out there.
Yeah, and with Vanderbilt, a lot of these guys have been there through it.
Yep.
So they've experienced a lot of it. But even, like, the new guys next year are going to be well aware of
– oh, yeah.
The history, they're going to be talking about it, they're going to be asked about it, et cetera. So, got to handle it at some point.
Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.